was thinking about my walk with Jesus and how sometimes a little cloud, a little storm, and I forget his word that said, my child, I will be with you and I will help you all the way. And I want to speak those words to you, that Jesus is going to be with you and Jesus is going to help you all the way. You said, my child, he said, my child, I will help you all the way. Oh, Lord,
down on my knees. You said, my child, I'll help you all the way.
That I may be alive
and sing your song again.
I decree in the name of Jesus, you will be alive.
Hallelujah.
You will not die. And you will sing the song again. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me the opportunity to be your servant. For taking me away from the pride of medicine into the humble ministry of a preacher. And I thank you that the people you gave me love me and my wife. And they have given to us. Now you said that if anybody shall give unto a prophet a cup of water, you will grant unto them the blessing that is upon the prophet. And so I ask in the name of Jesus that my sons and daughters shall receive an effortless breakthrough and receive the portion of the prophetic reward. I speak this, O God, knowing that the covenant of God is sure, and amen. And so, as I have been celebrated this morning, may they also be celebrated. And let not their enemies triumph over them. Bless your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you sincerely for today. And I know that our time to close is now. But I want you to give me a few minutes to speak God's word to you. This was for me, just use another hour for God. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the Lord has been speaking to me from this dawn, and what the prophetess was saying is not out of place, that Jesus is going to do something here today, and I so much know it. Hallelujah. And hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that God is going to bless you. I want to thank you for your support and your love for Stella and myself. And I'm happy that I did not pursue medicine too much. And I gave priority to the ministry. And I thank God because of your love. Hallelujah. But then I know that this is not the end. I know this is the beginning of what God is going to do with us. Glory. I feel the anointing so strong. Hallelujah. I know that this is the beginning of what God is going to do with us. Now I want you to move back into the spirit. Amen. Forgive the noises because we didn't start early. Lift up your right hand. Begin to speak in tongues. If you can't speak in tongues, believe and open your mouth and begin to speak. Lift the keyboard up. Say tahaksata.
Oh, da boshi
yema
da boshi de
me de yenti thank you the koinonia of the spirit, speaking on the koinonia of the spirit. The koinonia of the spirit. 2 weeks ago, I started talking about the great misconception about Christianity and how our fathers paid the price with their lives and how they handed this precious thing over to us. And today, people have turned Christianity into an entertainment and a game. But Christianity is not an entertainment. Glory to Jesus. Christianity is not for fun. Hallelujah. Christianity is giving yourself holy. Holy. Say holy. Say holy. I give myself away. You've got to give yourself away. The true purpose of the Christian walk is one of fellowship with God. Now, in the beginning, he made Adam and Eve, and he came for fellowship. So one day they sinned, and when God was coming for fellowship, they said that they could not. They said that they could not come into his presence because of sin. So sin takes us away from the presence. Sin takes us away from the fellowship. Now, the word koinonia is a Greek word for fellowship, to commune together, to partake of, to be one with. Glory to Jesus. So the true purpose of this Christian walk, for which a subset of it is coming to church, is fellowship with God. And can I achieve intimacy? You see, intimacy with God through the Holy Spirit, yes, you can. Actually, what God expects of you and I is to be so connected with Him and grow in our relationship with the Holy Ghost. Now, it is not about putting up big church auditoriums and filling them with thousands of people who have no intimate relationship with God. Hallelujah. It is to be so connected to the Spirit. In John chapter 6, verse number 63, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth; the flesh profited nothing." For our great profiting and quickening, we need to be a people of the Spirit. We need to live in the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to move by the Spirit. This is what will guarantee a victorious Christian life. And not keeping one foot in the flesh and the other in the Spirit. We need to be fully soaked in the Spirit. The Bible says that he that is of the Spirit mindeth spiritual things, but he that is of the flesh minds things of the flesh. The koinonia of the Spirit is so primary, it's so pivotal to our relationship with God. When you are able to get into the ring of the fellowship of the Almighty God and partake of that glorious union. You see, the union of the Godhead is so intimate that it makes a tripartite God look like one God. They are so connected to each other that you are unable to decipher the levels that exist between them. He says, God is one. Hallelujah. This is the fellowship that I want you and I to get into. In John, 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 1 to 4. We spoke about it last time. I would love the Amplified if you have it. He says that we are writing about the word of life in him who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard, whom we have seen with our own eyes, whom we have gazed upon for ourselves and have touched with our own hands. John was talking about the sequential gradings in intimate relationship when we come into God. He says that when we come into the Lord Jesus, you may have come by the hearing of the word, that which we have heard, that which we have heard. You heard about Jesus. Somebody spoke to him about you, to Jesus, to you. Somebody spoke about Christ to you, and you heard it, and you came to him. But like I said 2 weeks ago, it is not enough to just hear. Scripture says when they heard, they longed to what? To come and see. And then when they came to see, the Bible says they decided to now focus on, that is to gaze upon, to look upon him. Now that is different from seeing, and that is different from hearing. Say, I hear you. Now it is not enough to just hear, it is enough, you got to go forward and see. Then when you see, you've got to go forward to look upon, to concentrate on. And then those of you who've gotten to that level, it is time to touch the Lord. Say, it's time to touch the Lord. He says that we are writing these things to you so that you will partake of this fellowship also. Then your joy will be made complete. Many times people come to God and they see. After hearing, they see. But then that is it. Some people have been in church for 10 years, for 20 years, and they have not gotten to the stage of looking upon the Lord, let alone to touch the Lord. Glory to Jesus. The Bible says in Psalm 42, verse number 7, he says that the deep call falleth unto the deep. So if you are longing for a something deeper, then you have to go deeper in the Lord. Hallelujah. If you want an intimate relationship, you cannot just be scratching the surface. There are levels of knowing. How many people here know me? Lift up your hand if you know me. It's not a trick question. You don't know me? Lift up your hand if you know me. Everybody here knows me. However, if my wife was here, she will be able to tell you that I know him better than all of you. If my mother is here, she'll be able to tell you that I know him better than all of you. So there are grades to which you can know the Lord. And that is what I humbly plead with you. Know him better than you do now. For now, the level of knowing is maybe it's just hearing. You heard of the word and you came. Some of you are at the level of seeing. You have seen him. Others have gone further to focus on him. But there's another level that you can actually touch him. He said, we have touched the word. We have handled. Not until, and I repeat myself, not until you have such an encounter with the koinonia, you will not have a testimony. People who have testimonies are people who have encountered the Lord in all fullness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not until we encounter him in the depths of fellowship, we will not have a testimony. Your testimony will not be borrowed. Your testimony will not be plagiarized if you encounter the Lord for yourself. In Psalm 63, David said that, oh God, you are my God, early will I seek you. My soul longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. He's saying something here. He says that in a dry and thirsty land, when I should have been longing for waters to quench my thirst, he says my desire to be with the Lord is greater than the desire to be satisfied personally or of the flesh. That is serious. He says in a dry and thirsty land, if they put us in a dry and thirsty land, the first thing you do before you do your morning devotion is to look for water. But David is saying that in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, my soul will look for you. It means that he placed his priority for intimacy with the Holy Ghost greater than his personal needs. And that is where I want you to come to. The place where God is important than your husband. Say, I hear you. The place that God is important than your job. Say, I hear you. Do not put your career before God. Do not put your marriage before God. Do not put your finances before God. Let it be you. In fact, do not put your ministry before God. This preaching, this church, it should never come between me and God. It should be God and I, and when I have finished, I bring the overflow to you. The more you stay with the microphone, there's a young man that are coming up. The young man say, I hear you. That you are coming up in the ministry, they long to preach. No, you see, no man is qualified to preach if he has not been preached to by God. Oh, fix the sound, James. No man is qualified to be listened to if he has not listened to God. No man is qualified to be heard if he has not first heard from God. Young men are in a hurry to set up churches and they do not have the depth of relationship with God. Carnality has taken the stage in churches. People preach and they do material and carnal things. That is what the people want. I see you going to abroad. Shout hallelujah. That is what they love. But there is a relationship. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. What is the business about me going to abroad? The earth is the Lord's. As a matter of fact, I said it in this church before. We have a heaven going to. What is America to go to? Hallelujah. And you still don't catch it, isn't it? The Lord be with you. Amen. David said in Psalm 42, he said, as the deer pants. To pant is to run for your life. Because the smell of the deer is what attracts the hunters. And then when the hunters are about to kill a deer, if it gets into water, it's able to dissolve or diffuse that smell so they cannot pick it up. And David is saying that as the deer runs to hide in the water from the hunters who are about to kill him, he says, that is the level at which my soul longs for you. He craved for God. But what are we doing now? I want to tell you something about Jesus and his disciples. You see, the people that Jesus called, they were a people who were longing for him. God never calls somebody who does not long for him. If you look into our lives, you trace it from secondary school. Those who were fire at SU, they ended up being fire at the university. Now they are preachers of churches. It's the same thing.
It is just a few people who they were doing something very erratic, and the grace of God takes them and transforms them. But you can actually tell from the level of school, those who are going to become men of God. I was in the U.S. preaching, and then I met a lady, and we said, oh, I said, oh, I'm a man of God. Now she said, oh, it's not surprising. 10 years ago when I saw you, I knew you'd either become a prophet or an apostle. You see, so there should be a longing for God. Somebody once told me, he said, if you see a pastor who prays for 1 hour, you will see. There has to be a longing for God. Now, in John chapter 1, verse 35 to 42, the Bible says, again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. Now listen, the two disciples heard him speak, the two disciples. They heard John speak. These were John's disciples. And they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said, what do you seek? Then they said to him, Rabbi, where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was, and they remained with him that day. One of the two who heard John speak and followed was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon, that was Peter, and said to him, we have found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. All right, let me take another scripture and I'll explain the two of them. John 1:43, that was about Philip. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Okay, so this is the first person Jesus said, follow me. All right, I'm going to explain it. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now, what is happening? This is Andrew, who said to Peter that, come, we have found him. They knew about him. Philip said to Nathanael, we have found him whom Moses and the prophets spoke about. So they had heard about this Jesus. They were longing to meet him. That will not be the first thing to say, Charlie, come, we found him. It means that the conversation in those days between those guys where we were looking or waiting for the Messiah. So they had heard him like you have also heard. But will you be like Philip and will you be like Andrew? They longed for another relationship. Andrew said, they said to Jesus, he said, we want to see where you stay. And when they went there, the Bible says they remained with him. Would you love to remain with him? Or you just want to come for an hour and then you hurry and go home and do your own things? You should long for a deeper relationship. God is never going to call somebody who is... Philip said it. He said, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote. So he had read about the law. He had heard him. Glory to Jesus. We need to go deeper. It is time to break away from the dependency of men of God and move into the dependency of the Spirit. I said it is time to break away from the dependency of men of God and move into the dependency of the Spirit. You cannot build your Christian life on the testimony of others. You need your own koinonia encounter. You need your own. Philip said, come. Come, come, because the guy we read about, we have seen him. Let us go for a deeper relationship. It is not enough to just say, okay, we heard of him, that's him, that's it. No. You long to know him better. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 6, verse 7 to 8. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that is what he will reap. He who sows to his flesh will reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will reap spirit. I said it before. It is the Spirit that profited. I've been praying this prayer for the past 1 month. It is the Spirit that profited. The flesh profited nothing. It is the Spirit that quickened it. The flesh profited nothing. I will pray this prayer for 2 hours, just like that. It is the Spirit, Lord. Thank you for the Spirit. Thank you for the Spirit. Thank you for the Spirit. It is the Spirit. When you get into the place where you are so focused on him and you get into prayer, you don't even ask for anything. You see, you long for a deeper intimacy. And the Bible said in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 4, he said that when you receive this fellowship, your joy will be complete. The fulfillment or the completion of your joy is not dependent on the happenings around you, but on the intimate intercourse you have with the Holy Ghost. The Amplified Bible puts it better, Galatians chapter 6. It says, do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions, or by his precepts being set aside. You cannot set aside the precepts of God and do what you think and think that God, you see, God is like a woman, garbage in, garbage out, good in, good out. What you give to God is what you get. Hallelujah. He inevitably deludes himself. He inevitably deludes himself. Who attempts to delude God? You cannot trick God. You need to go deeper. Tell your neighbor, I need to go deeper. You need to go deeper. Then you'll be able to say, like John said, that which we have heard, that which we have seen, that which we have looked upon, and that which we have touched. Even the word of life. You need to sequentially go up in the gradings of the fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Church is filled with people who just scratch the surfaces. They heard about him. They've come to see him and they go home and watch EPL. They've heard about him and they come to see him and they go home and do the things that they want. They don't have any time of fellowship with him. Let me tell you about a wonderful disciple of God for whom a lot of criticisms has been meted upon him because of the time he chose to visit God. Speaking about Nicodemus in John's Gospel chapter number 3. He was a Pharisee. He was a teacher of Israel. Now listen, he, Nicodemus, together with the other Pharisees had heard Jesus teaching. But you see, unlike the others, Nicodemus desired to move away from the semantics of religion into a personal relationship with God. Now, you see, you said so many bad things about Nicodemus because of the time he chose to come. Why did Nicodemus go to God at night? It was not to hide. It was not. Nicodemus was an authority in Israel. Nicodemus was a rich man. Nicodemus was a strong teacher. He did not hide. They had encountered Jesus and his teaching, and he realized that the things he taught from books, the things Jesus was teaching was not from the books. Nicodemus realized that the teachings that he had gone to school to learn, the things Jesus was saying, they were not in his school curriculum. Nicodemus realized that Jesus was teaching another kind of gospel. And he longed for that. Nicodemus longed for an intimate relationship. He longed for an intercourse with God. He wanted to be able to do the things Jesus was doing. He marveled. So when he came by night, as a matter of the urgency of the spirit that was upon him that said that, I cannot sleep this night. I will see this master for him to teach me. He went to Jesus at night, not because he wanted to hide, but because he could not take it anymore. He could not stay home anymore. He could not just sit to himself anymore. He said, I will inconvenience this master. I will go and wake him up because I need to know about this thing. He didn't go because he was a big man. He didn't go because he was scared that people would see him. No. As a matter of fact, it was Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea that paid and took Jesus and put him in that tomb. It was Nicodemus. So he didn't hide. But there was something burning inside Nicodemus that he could not wait for morning to come. Oh, is your desire so long and so great that you cannot wait for Sunday to come? But you have your own praise and worship in your room. You have your own fasting time. You will not wait for Shiloh. You have your own time of prayer. Labor Hasaya. You will wake up at dawn at 4 a.m. every Sunday morning and begin to speak. Labanda Hataya. That I may know him and the power. Can you? He said, I cannot wait. He went and knocked on the door. He said, is the master? And they said, yes. He sleep. He said, wake him up. Wake him up. David said, in a dry and thirsty land, my soul longs for you. The soul of Nicodemus was longing for God. He had to inconvenience him to understand. So when he came, he took chair. He sat down. He said, I'm sorry to wake you up, but I cannot help myself. Master, nobody can do the things you are doing except God is with him. He was a teacher. He knew that the things that Jesus was doing, They were not possible without the... Shakaya, say, teach me. God with him, accompaniment. He said they were not possible without a person being together with God. God with him. He said that the things you are doing is not possible for you to do in isolation. You are with God. God is with you. God is with you so much that the things you are doing, it looks as if it is God himself that is doing. Do you know, because Nicodemus was there when Jesus had just come from the wedding of Cana and turned water into wine. Nicodemus was in the temple when Jesus was teaching about the serious word of God. Nicodemus was in the temple when Jesus was doing so many miracles and said, the things you are doing, it's like God himself is the one doing. So how is it possible? I want you to follow me here, readers. How is it possible that you look like God and do the things of God? That was his burning desire, which provoked him to come at night. Why are you waiting for Sunday? Why are you waiting for Thursday? Why are you waiting for me to tell you pray before? Why are you waiting for me to tell you you are fasting 3 days before? If you long for him, you will find him. The Bible says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is not a man to lie. If he says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him and you have not found him, it means you have not diligently sought after the Lord. You are just scratching the surface. You are just scratching the surface. Then the Lord said to him, true, what you are saying is true. You know, except a man be born again, he cannot so much even see, let alone do the things I'm doing. Don't look in the Bible, you'll be confused. Listen to how I'm saying it. It's very deceptive there. He's not talking about baptism by water and those things. No. Nicodemus was talking about the things Jesus was doing. And that is like God was with Jesus. And so he was confused because he was a teacher of the law and did not see that that was a possibility. That God can so much be with a man, because God, they carried him in an ark. And when the ark is fallen, somebody went to hold it, he killed him. You see, now he is seeing that it is as if God has come into their midst and raising the dead and opening blind eyes. He said, the things you are doing, except God is with you and not working by you, but so intimate with God that when we see you, it is as if you are God. And he said, it's true. Verily, verily, I say to you, I agree with you, Nico, that except a man be born again, he cannot see. And it is not the act of looking, but it is the act to perceive and understand the things of the kingdom. So he's saying that, you know, that man, if he's not born again, he will not even see, let alone be able to do. And Nicodemus, longing for this intimacy, said, I am old. How can I enter the second time into my mother's womb? Listen. Even if it were possible, Nicodemus would have. That is why he asked that question. He said, how can I go back? It's not like I doubt what you are saying. I've heard you, but how will I enter into my mother's womb to be born anew so that I can do these things, so that I can see the kingdom? Many people have not seen the kingdom. Many people are just scratching the surface of their relationship with God because they have not had the time to go deeper. When at night I am alone by my bed, and cry, draw me deeper, deeper to the place where you are. Draw me deeper and deeper. When I enter my workplace and I go late, don't do that, because I couldn't get out of prayer. When I was alone as a junior doctor at the emergency and the time for my night prayer was up, and I will leave the place and go into prayer and say, hold the fort. Hold them in their homes because we need to talk. And there was not a single day that I left for that 1 hour at 11 p.m. that there was a case that came behind me. No. And that was the time I said, there is no emergency when you are with God in prayer. Don't put your phone on. Anybody calling you, it is a trivial issue. Even if it is your father. And that has been my confusion sometimes. When I'm so detailed in prayer and I see him calling, I say, yeah. But there is no emergency. And so the Lord said to him, Nico, see, I'm not just talking about entering the womb of your mother. I'm talking about a twofold birthing process by the water and the spirit. So now Nicodemus is getting more confused. Because I cannot enter the second time into my mother's womb. And then I came to ask you that how would this be? And then he said that you have to enter a second time into the womb of the mother by water and by the spirit. Then, longing for a greater experience, Nicodemus said to Jesus, how can these things be? How can these things be? Jesus was talking about a new mother. A new mother called the Holy Ghost. A new mother called the Holy Spirit. Jesus was telling Nicodemus, enter into the womb of the mother Holy Spirit. Enter into her womb. Be inside her womb for the period of 9 months. Be fed by the Spirit. Be sustained by the placenta of the Spirit. Receive the nutrients from the Spirit. Bathe in the amniotic fluid, the water of the word. Let the combination of the water, which is the word of God, and the spirit, which is your new mother, let them carry you in their womb for 9 months. And that is the greatest form of intimacy and fellowship. A baby in the womb of the mother is so intimate with the mother. A baby in the womb of the mother is so dependent on the mother. He said, Nicodemus, you need to loosen the things you know and enter into a new relationship. Enter the womb of the Spirit. Eat by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Be in her womb till the time is due when she shall push you forth. And the birthing process is such an intimate fellowship. You see, a child coming out of a woman is more intimate than the act of sexual intercourse. So when Jesus said to Nicodemus, you need to be born by the water and the spirit, he says that you have to be in her womb, receive nourishment by the spirit. Be an angel touched me. Hallelujah. Be in her womb, receive nourishment by the spirit, and then be birthed by her. Be birthed by her. He said, you know, why did he say the water and the spirit? The water is like the water the baby lies in. The amniotic fluid, the water of the spirit is the word of God. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse number 25, he said that by the washing of the word and the regeneration by the spirit. Hallelujah. John chapter 1, verse number 12, he said, as many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. Not as those who were born of the flesh, of a man's will, but born by God. If you are born of the spirit, you will be spirit. If you are born by the spirit, you will be spirit. The reason why it is the spirit that you receive is that if it is a flesh, it is blood you regret. But if it is the spirit that is your mother and you are inside the spirit, she gives you what she is. Your mother gives you blood because the Bible says the life is in the blood. If your mother is the Holy Ghost, she will give you the Holy Ghost. And the spirit of God, the water of the word will be around you. Therefore, Titus came in Titus chapter 3, verse number 5, verse number 4 to 5. He said, when we were in the world sometime, we're delinquent, hateful. We were under the influence of all diverse kind of lust. But after that, the goodness of God, the love of God, our Savior, came or appeared toward men. Not any righteousness of ourselves, but by the sheer mercy of God, who has cleansed us by the water and the regeneration of the Spirit. So Jesus was telling Nicodemus that I need you to lose yourself. 2 Corinthians 5, he said, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The word born again there means that to be born anew. Deniti and anoten, those are the Greek words. To be born anew, to be born of the Spirit. Jesus was telling him, you need to undergo a conceptional phase, a gestational period. You need to remain in him. Do you know how a baby is inside the mother? She has no thought of her own. Everything she does is connected to the mother. That is what Jesus was saying to him. And then the man became even more confused. Then Jesus said, "Are thou a teacher of Israel, and you knoweth not these things?" Nicodemus longed for a deeper intimacy with God. What are you doing? You see, except a man be born of the water and the spirit. That one is not see. He says he cannot enter. The meaning of that word is he cannot become a part of. You see, he was telling Nicodemus that if you want to become like me, you have to become a part of the fellowship. But except you undergo the birthing process of the word, you need the word and the spirit. You cannot enter. You cannot partake. You cannot. The Bible says in Acts that there were some guys who wanted to partake of the anointing and said to some demon-possessed people that in the name of Jesus, whom Paul uses, I adjure you to come out. And there was a slap. You cannot be a part of it if you have not been born of water and of the spirit. You cannot. You cannot be a part of it. Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, that, John chapter 3, I think verse number 6, he said, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. That which is of the flesh is flesh. You cannot keep one leg in the spirit and the other in the flesh and think that you are entering. You are not. You will not enter. You will not partake of it. Except you be fully born of the water and the spirit. And this is not talking about Holy Ghost baptism. No. For many in the olden covenant were saved without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus was telling Nicodemus that he needed to encounter the mother Holy Ghost and remain inside her womb and learn the things of the spirit and be birthed a new person. So much so that even if Nicodemus found a way to enter her mother's womb and came back a second time, he would still not partake of the kingdom. Say, I hear you. This was the new birth. You see, so Nicodemus was very confounded. And if you look at the verse number 11, I'm going to tell you something there. Jesus said something to the confused Nicodemus and said, what Nicodemus said in verse 10, he said, how can these things be? Jesus said to him, We speak what we know. Say, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen. John said, the things which we have heard, the things which we have seen, the things which we have looked upon, the things which we have touched, these are the things we are telling you so that you will be part of this and your testimony will be complete. When Nicodemus was confused, Jesus said to him, I am telling you the things that I know, the things that I have encountered, the things that I have seen, the things that I have lived. Those are the things I'm telling you. And you know the word know there? It's of the Greek word idol, which means to be a part of. You need to be a part of the fellowship of God. No one can have these things without the encounter of the Spirit. You see, there is no depth of knowledge. You see, what Jesus was trying to say is that there is the depth of knowing Jesus was not attributable to knowledge received by impartation or indoctrination, but by knowledge received through the intimacy of the Spirit. What am I going to say? I know you are tired, but do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus was trying to tell him that this amount of knowledge I'm talking about doesn't come when a man of God lays his hand on you and says, receive it. It doesn't come when they indoctrinate you through books. It comes through fellowship, daily fellowship with the Holy Ghost. And if you do not have that one, you cannot have this knowledge. It was simple. There is a difference between those who have been schooled by the Spirit and those who have been schooled by theology. So in Acts chapter number 1, I like to preach the book of Acts. The Bible says that fishermen, men who did not know the scripture, men who went to the tomb when Jesus had resurrected and they saw that he was not there and they cried and went back home because the Bible said that they did not know the scripture that he must rise again. This was Peter and John. But when they were gathered in the upper room, the Bible says in Acts, he says there came a sound as of a mighty rushing wind and came upon them. And when he came upon them, there was an intercourse. And this morning, the Lord told me that they experienced Pentecost every day after that day. Here, they did not only experience Pentecost once. They continued in the Spirit every day. Every day. And being full of the Spirit. The Bible says, Peter, who did not know the word, when the men of the city were in their homes, thinking that these people were drunk, and they walked to the place, Peter, who was in prayer, now knew the thoughts of men. And that is called the spirit of discernment. And it is in the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. The spirit of prophecy is in the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. The spirit of diverse tongues is in the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. Don't be praying for a gift. Be praying to know him. Don't, you are praying for a gift for what? Some of you, small dream you see, everybody hears. You want to be a prophet. De facto prophet. Prophet without portfolio. Prophet without ordination. You, everybody has something to say about the things he has seen. I am telling you that when you go deeper in God, listen, the depths of fellowship with God, once attained, you don't need any prophet to minister futuristic prophecies to you. As a matter of fact, the work of faith is possible without the ministration of the prophetic. I'm saying something. I said the work of faith. Those of us who live by faith, we can do without a prophet. You don't need anybody to tell you something. No, you are a person of faith and you believe. So Bible says, when the men came there, Peter said unto them, why were you saying in your heart when you were home that we were drunk? How did Peter know? How did he know he was in prayer? The Peter that did not know that Jesus would have to rise, he didn't know that scripture. You know? And then when the men gathered, he started to preach them. He said, this is what Joel prophesied. Now he's quoting scripture. They were in prayer. They were not reading the word. They were in prayer. So how did he know the scripture of Joel? Once you receive an indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Bible says in John chapter 2, he says, for ye have an anointing or an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Once the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will know all things. You will recite scriptures you have not heard. I've been writing books, sometimes the English words that come to me, I've never heard of it before. And when I write it and I check it, it's correct. Once the Spirit is in you, you will know. He said, why were you thinking that we were drunk? How did he know? He said that this is what Joel prophesied, that in the last days I pour out my spirit upon all flesh, that sons and daughters shall begin to prophesy, old men shall begin to dream dreams, and upon my maidservant, upon my manservant, will I put my spirit. How did he know? Then he went into Psalm 16 and spoke about the messianic prophecy and said, thou will not allow my soul to rot in Hades, for in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures evermore. He said, thou preservest my lot, my inheritance is of thee. He was quoting scriptures when he came out of prayer. And the Bible says that day 3,000 men were added to the church. Then the Bible says in Acts chapter 3, on the way to pray with John by the beautiful gate, there was a man who was crippled and lame in his feet. And that man was always there because the church people gave him money. Why did they give him money? They substituted their lack of power with the provision of social responsibility. I am preaching, sir. The church is entering into a social responsibility phase because of its lack to dispense power. The church is unable to do what God said we should do. Go out, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, make disciples of all nations. We are unable to do that. So do you know what we are doing now? We are putting up universities, putting up hospitals, trying to become some philanthropists. Our primary goal is to dispense power. Not build universities. We will build some, but that is not the primary thing. You see, so what they were doing every day was giving him money, giving him money, giving him money, giving him money. Hey! Till one day, anytime they gave him money to, he stayed there because he came for money. Till one day, when they had the koinonia encounter, and they were walking at the same place they used to walk, at the time of prayer, when they got there and the man stretched his hand, he said, no. We are in the next dimension. We have left the realm of giving money. We have entered into the realm of giving what we have. What we have is the spirit in us. And he looked at him and such as we have. They had money, but they were talking about having another thing. What do you have? Jesus said to Nicodemus, that which we have seen and heard, that is what we are telling you. What have you seen? What have you heard? What have you touched? What have you looked upon? He says, such as we have, give I unto you. Rise up, okay? Rise up and walk. And the Bible says that the lame man got up. And do you know something? He followed them to church that day. It means that when we will go about our business in dispensing the power and making disciples, people will join us in church rather than giving a social responsibility such as money and help. Then the Bible says that. Acts chapter 4, verse number 1. When the chief priests and the rulers and the Pharisees heard this, they were annoyed and they stretched forth their hands to capture Peter and John. And when they took them, I want you to consider verse number 5. They took Peter and John into a place filled with learned men. Acts 4, verse 5.
Acts 4, verse 5. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the priest, Cephas, John, and Alexander, as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in
the... As many as were of the family of the high priest. Hear me, I'm closing. These were people who were learned people. Look. Long for the spirit. Long for him. Long for him more than you long for your boyfriend. Long for him more than you long for your wife. Long for him. I wrote a song many years ago. Mommy, who... Mami hu senya uti bwemani mami hu senya uti why crumple nyeradi nyonya mi. Why crumble? Who at all is our God? Why crumble? Why crumble? Nieradi, nyonyami. Then the desire of my heart came. Mami hu, mami hu, senya uti. I beg you to know him. Learned men sat at the round table and called two fishermen. Fishermen. And they said to them, by which power do you do this? If you follow the scripture, I said, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if... verse number 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now here, this was something that was happening at that time. It's not like he came into the room filled with the Holy Ghost. But when they spoke, then the Holy Ghost zoomed into him. So it was not Peter anymore. Then he began to speak. Peter said unto them, let it be known unto you that the Jesus Christ that you crucified and God resurrected, he, it is by his name that we are doing this thing. Peter began to preach to scholars, to high priests, elders, rulers, scaffers. There was an entire Sanhedrin of learned men. And the Bible says that in the verse number 13, he said, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived or got to know that they were unlearned men, they arrived at one conclusion. They marveled. Why did they marvel? Because the depth of literature that Peter was talking about was not possible without education. The things that Peter was saying about the Acts from Genesis to the time Jesus was crucified, it is not possible without training. And they saw that Peter and John were not their classmates. They were not from the same school that they came from as high priest. So they marveled that this man, I hear our unlearned men. So how come they can give this delivery? Then they saw that there was only one school. Only one school where the student has direct access to God. And he's able to be so intimate with God that is able to learn things and to be like God. Scripture says, when they saw the boldness, the word boldness means the rawness. It was a raw, uncensored, uncut version of the experience of Jesus that he was talking about. They saw that the people looked like Jesus. They saw that the people were talking like Jesus. They saw that the things they were doing like the things Jesus did. They saw the raising of the dead, causing a cripple to walk out, were the things Jesus did. So when they saw that, they concluded that these people have come from only one school, which curriculum allows the student to partake of the koinonia of the spirit and to be like the master. And they said, when they saw, they marveled and they said, these men have been with Jesus. The English is what? Been with. One no anante. One no atna. One no akabum. This man had had fellowship. This man had become intimate. This man were being with. Being with. Two Greek words for that. One is soon. One is meta. Soon is what he's talking about here. He says they resemble. They have been with the man so much like they look like him. He said when they saw the boldness, how uncensored Peter was talking, the raw version, talking as if he was God, talking as if he had been with God. When they saw that thing, they perceived that this is not possible without education. Then they checked among themselves. Were they in your class? He said, no. Were they in your class? Cephas? He said, no. High priest, were they in your school? He said, no. Then one of them said, even our school, the curriculum does not equip you to talk with this amount of knowledge. So, they are coming from another school, and it is the school of the spirit. When men who have been schooled by the spirit meet men who have been schooled by the theology 101, the people who went to school sit down and hear the spirit. You do not need a course in theology 101. You need a course in neology 101. And when you have remained by your bedside and said, I want to know you, I want to know you, I want to be like you, I desire the koinonia of the spirit, that I will be born by the spirit and the water, that I will lose myself and take upon the self of Christ, that it will no longer be I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. When you get into that place, you become educated in the things of God. And when you meet men who have gone to school, people who had PhD were standing there, and the people that had been with him were talking. Then they told them, we forbid you by our many degrees and our authority in Israel not to speak. Then Peter, the unlearned and untrained and unschooled by their standard, but schooled by the spirit, said to them, hear the word of the Lord. Is it better? This is a fisherman standing before a judge. He said, is it better? Is it better for a man to listen to God or to man? May your training be with God and not with men. Because if your training is with men, one day when you are challenged, you will give it up. When they threaten you at the point of your life, you will give it up. When they said, if you speak about this name again, we'll kill you. He said, oh, is it better? My teacher is God. Is it better to listen to God or to men? Then the Bible says that that day, 5,000 souls were added. When people see, there are schools of Bible and there are schools of the spirit. haven't been to Bible school before. I may do one day, but I don't need it. It is not a necessity to perform the works of him that called me. Did you read in the Bible that when he came, he entered into school and studied? No, at the age of 12, full of the Holy Ghost, he was lecturing people with PhD. What you need is not a certificate embossed by a seal of men who have affiliated themselves to a school in New York somewhere to say that this Bible Institute, you need to enter the theological seminary of the Holy Ghost. Peter, John, they had entered into the seminary of the Holy Ghost. And when men who were sitting there with doctorates were questioning them, he said, you don't know the word. That is the same thing Jesus was telling Nicodemus. He said, I'm surprised that you being a teacher of Israel, you do not know the regeneration by water and the spirit. Because Ezekiel spoke about it. The koinonia of the spirit. In closing, I want to encourage you that there is no amount of knowledge that you can receive by receive it. Shout, I believe it. I receive it. Say it's mine. There is no amount, the depth of knowledge that can be attained, as Jesus spoke about, is not possible by the impartations of men, by a Buddha Munsio, by Fansatu TV, by hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The depth, or by going to South Africa, that like pastor said and pastor said, it is, you see, the depth of the relationship, the depth of power, the depth of intimacy cannot be attained by all those things. The hour is now, say the Lord, when men shall worship me in spirit and in truth. The flesh profited nothing. It is the spirit that quickened it. Receive the koinonia. Stand to your feet. Let's pray. Receive the koinonia. Receive the koinonia. Long for a deeper intercourse with the Holy Ghost. Long for a deeper relationship. More of you. More of you, more of you, Jesus, more of you,
more of you,
more of you, more of you, more of you, Jesus, more of you,
more of you.
Let it be your prayer. Lift up your hands. Begin to talk to him. Begin to desire him. It is the spirit that quickens it.
Jesus, more of
you. More
of you.
More
of you.
More
of you.
Yeah.
Jesus, more of you.
More of you, yeah.
More of you.
Love him in these few minutes.
More of you.
Communion hands.
Jesus, more of you.
More of you.